It's the Noon Report from Family Life, bringing a Christian worldview to what's happening in New York, Pennsylvania, across the country, and around the world. Weather with Kevin Williams, sports with Sunny Delfiette, plus special features and reports with the Family Life News team. Now, here's what's happening.
Good afternoon and welcome to the broadcast. I'm Bill Price, Turkey Day getaway.
Heavy snow, blizzard conditions.
That is our top story at noon. Old Man Winter threatening to mess up the Thanksgiving drive this week, folks. A storm system that's forming in the Rockies today will be headed our way by the middle of the week.
Gusts over 40 miles an hour moves through the Plain States towards Minneapolis. The good news is it's rain in Chicago, but still going to cause some issues there, Detroit and Cleveland.
Jeff Baradelli at the National Weather Service. High winds will be on the menu for our neck of the woods on Wednesday, and the weather could ground those iconic balloons for the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade in New York City on Thursday. NBC's Al Roker.
Could be the first time the balloons don't fly since 1971.
Officials will make the call Thanksgiving morning on whether or not those balloons will fly. Meantime, it's a little mixed precip for Thanksgiving Day and Black Friday across our listening area. Ryan McKinley is with AAA.
There's a pretty good chance it's going to be pretty disruptive to a lot of people. Start making plans now if you can get out before the storm do.
AAA says 55 million Americans will be traveling this holiday week. Navy Secretary Richard Spencer out of a job today after refusing to close the books on the case of Navy SEAL Eddie Gallagher. He was accused of war crimes and pardoned by President Trump. Defense Secretary Mark Esper confirms the commander-in-chief ordered him to let Gallagher keep his Navy Trident pin. That was something Richard Spencer had been fighting. Correspondent David Martin is at the Pentagon.
Spencer's boss, Defense Secretary Mark Esper, says he fired Spencer due to losing trust and confidence in him because of a lack of candor. Either way, the case of the Navy versus Edward Gallagher has now turned into a full-blown fiasco, complete with conflicting accounts of why the Navy Secretary had to go.
That's David Martin reporting. He's all in.
Mike Bloomberg intends to make good.
A billionaire and former New York City mayor officially entering the Democratic race for president. He'll skip all of the early states and instead focus on Super Tuesday.
He enters the race as a moderate, as someone who is concerned about the direction of the Democratic Party and certainly the direction of the country. And he's making good on something that he's thought about doing since at least 2008.
That's political analyst Ed O'Keefe. House impeachment proceedings on hiatus this week while lawmakers adjourn for the Thanksgiving holiday. They'll commence again with the inquiry next week. Democratic strategist Marie Harf thinks there's evidence that a crime was committed by the president.
When you look at the testimony we saw last week, the number of bombshells we got from some witnesses that Republicans were touting, we heard very explicitly that President Trump used military aid, used an Oval Office meeting to try and get political dirt on an opponent.
But Republican consultant Katie Pavlich says 2 weeks of hearings have failed to yield a shred of evidence of presidential wrongdoing.
There wasn't a single witness throughout the course of the hearings that we saw publicly who made the accusation that the president engaged in some kind of bribery, some kind of impeachable offense. So the amount of real evidence at this point is pretty much zero.
Polls show a growing number of independent voters oppose impeaching President Trump. The UN out with a report today that shows greenhouse gas levels have reached a record high, despite commitments made from the controversial Paris Climate Agreement.
We cannot negotiate with nature. Whatever commitments we take, we have to take actions and not just commitments.
That's climate activist Oksana Tarasova. The report comes ahead of a UN climate summit in Madrid next week, the first since President Trump pulled the U.S. out of those Paris climate accords. Uber has hit a speed bump in London. The city's transit system will not renew the company's license to operate there because of concerns over drivers, some with no insurance, others with criminal records.
I think the message is that London is very much open for business, but it's about accepting the regulations to make sure that fundamentally passengers in London are safe.
That's industry analyst Alex Wood. Pump prices dropping just in time for the Thanksgiving drive.
Today's national average is $2.59. Last year, the holiday week was pretty similar.
AAA's Jeanette Castellano. Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg out of the hospital after being treated for a possible infection over the weekend. The 86-year-old now recovering at home. Well, speaking of recovering, a 5-year-old miracle boy who was thrown from the third floor of the Mall of America in Minneapolis continues to improve. Here's Family Life's Brandon Dixon.
Landon Hoffman was shopping with his mother and friends on April 12th when he was thrown over the rail of a balcony by a 24-year-old attacker, causing massive head trauma and fractured bones in his arm and legs. But now, the boy has returned to school with his brother and sister, and his condition has improved thanks to continuous physical therapy. His mom tells CBN News that Landon, quote, loves life and Jesus, and he tells people all the time that angels caught him. The attacker was sentenced to 19 years in prison back in June. Landon's family says they forgive the man and will continue to pray for him. Brandon Dixon, Family Life News.
Great story. Thank you, Brandon. Still to come this Monday, tricky travel expected this Thanksgiving week. We'll have the very latest. President Trump will be in Pennsylvania next month, and the turkey named Trump spared from the chopping block.
Well, good afternoon to all. For travelers, conditions look relatively good the next 36 hours, but Wednesday, Thursday could be a little more challenging. We'll talk about why, the forecast coming up. See you in 10 minutes.
All righty, Kevin Williams checking the stories making news where you live in New York and Pennsylvania Monday, November 25th. Tricky travel expected on the busiest travel day of the year. Bob Hamilton at the National Weather Service in Buffalo says high winds on the menu the day before Thanksgiving.
So strong winds are going to persist right into the night. So for those driving Wednesday evening, I mean, it's not going to be like driving in a snowstorm, but the winds are going to be pretty strong, and there's going to be, you know, a fair amount of shower activity around, so not the best travel conditions.
High wind watches will go up Wednesday morning. Bob Hamilton says if you're driving that day, be extra careful.
It'll be in effect from 7 o'clock Wednesday morning until 10 o'clock that evening. And the strong winds will also present the risk for some lakeshore flooding for those typical areas right along the lakeshore, with the most prone time being probably noon to 6.
Hamilton says gusts could peak up to 60 miles an hour on Wednesday. That means if you're driving on those open highways, two hands on the wheel at all times. Dramatic day in federal court in Scranton, PA today. The man authorities say threatened President Trump, acting as his own attorney, and he's taking the witness stand himself. Sean Christie says he's being framed. Christie threatened to kill President Trump and other elected officials before leading investigators on a 3-month manhunt. Cops say he committed a string of crimes along the way, too, before his arrest last year in Ohio. If convicted, Christie faces life behind bars. Police have confirmed the two people found dead in a house fire last week in Allegheny County, New York, were indeed the parents of the 17-year-old suspect. William Larson Jr. of Clarksville, now facing murder charges. Authorities say the teenager killed his parents before setting their house on fire. This neighbor says he talked to the suspect right after the incident.
So what are you doing out in the woods here? And he said that he was cold and he had a Bible in his hands and he wanted to turn himself in.
Tom Fino, a neighbor to the family, he says the tragedy has sent shockwaves through that community.
I really don't know too much about the family or any of their business or anything like that, but I'm pretty sure he's had quite a hard life.
The 17-year-old turned himself in to police peacefully last Thursday following a day-long search. Police say the Hornell, New York man charged with the murder of a 60-year-old disabled man in his care earlier this month committed suicide this past weekend. Authorities say Alan Schultes succumbed to his injuries after jumping out of a window at the Steuben County lockup. Schultes was charged with the November 4th murder of Jay Sprague, who was found dead in an upstairs bedroom. Governor Cuomo sparking some unnecessary fears about a hoax bomb threat in Times Square. Patrols were beefed up in Midtown despite reports from the NYPD that the threat was not credible. These New Yorkers say Cuomo wanted the spotlight.
He wants to be the hero.
Doesn't sound very, very common sense to be making a statement like that unless you have credibility first.
He overreacted. I definitely think that he sure looked into it before he jumped into it.
The Cuomo administration never spoke to the NYPD before issuing that declaration. City Hall calls the move a classic Cuomo publicity stunt. Well, with the holiday shopping season in full swing, police in Irondequoit, New York, urging online shoppers to use their safe exchange zone. That zone is two reserved parking places in front of the police headquarters that are monitored by cameras 24 hours a day.
Because we want everybody to be safe. We want everybody to be happy.
Police Chief Richard Tantello says the safe exchange zone offers both buyer and seller an extra level of security.
If something were to unfortunately occur in a negative situation and police services are required, and of course we would respond to that, but having the ability to prevent something from occurring really keeps our resources in play so that we can do more proactive work and more prevention and really keep our officers in the neighborhoods where people want to see them.
The safe exchange zones can also be found at the Greece, New York Police Department and at the Livingston County Sheriff's Office. The New York Legislature holding hearings today on a replacement plan for traditional health insurance coverage in the Empire State. The New York Health Act would replace current coverage programs with a single-payer plan. Democrats say this would eliminate the need for premiums, deductibles, and co-pays. But Republicans argue universal health care would have disastrous consequences on New York State taxpayers and the state's economy. A not-for-profit asking for your help to make sure veterans are not forgotten this holiday season. That group is called Wreaths Across America. The organization says it doesn't have enough donated wreaths for every veteran's grave at a cemetery in central Pennsylvania. Here's volunteer Craig Butt.
Someone puts a wreath there, spends some time there with them, says their name. It's not going to happen unless, you know, people step up to the plate and make it happen.
The Indian Town Gap National Cemetery, the final resting place for some 40,000 veterans. It costs $15 to sponsor a wreath, and you can find out more information by going online at Wreaths Across America. President Trump will be in Pennsylvania next month. Family Life's Terry Diener.
President Donald Trump will make his fourth visit to Pennsylvania this year, this time to Hershey, as he makes his case in the presidential battleground state. Trump's campaign announced a rally for December the 10th. He had previously traveled to Pennsylvania this year to stump for Republican Fred Keller in a special congressional election in rural northern Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania backed Trump in the 2016 election by about 44,000 votes over Democrat Hillary Clinton. Terry Diener, Family Life News.
Thank you, Terry. A turkey named Trump is being spared the chopping block on Long Island. The historic Mill Ridge Inn in Jericho, New York, holds a turkey pardon ceremony every year right before Thanksgiving.
This turkey, when he gets pardoned, he's not going to be getting impeached. He's going to live a long life at a turkey farm in Virginia, not too far away from the White House.
The orange-headed turkey shares the very same birthday as President Trump. That pardoning ceremony will take place on Wednesday. The Bills beat the Bronx. Sunny time. 2 minute drill.
Yeah, the Bills improved to 8-3, and Frank Gore heads into the history books.
Here, Gore. Gore takes it down to the 41. He has just run into NFL history.
Yeah, Frank Gore now third on the NFL all-time rushing list, passing Barry Sanders. He finished with 65 yards in the Bills' 20-3 win against Denver.
Still having fun, still making plays, still helping, you know, a team win games, and I'm blessed.
Buffalo getting ready to play Dallas on Thanksgiving Thursday. In Cincinnati, Devlin Hodges took over for a struggling Mason Rudolph, throws a touchdown pass, helping the Steelers beat the Bengals 16-10. Did he know he was going to play?
No, I didn't.
I just stay prepared, you know, try to stay prepared for when my number's called.
Steelers improved to 6-5. They'll take on Cleveland this coming Sunday. Baker Mayfield threw 3 touchdowns. Browns crushed the Dolphins 41-24.
Offensively, we still had our lulls and our low moments, our non-consistency that we wanted to have. But overall, a win is a win.
The Browns are 5-6. Look out, the Jets crushing the Raiders 34-3 to improve to 4-7. Head coach Adam Gase.
I still think there's a lot of room, you know, a lot of things we need to improve on. We need just more consistent in the running game.
In Chicago, the Bears beat the Giants 19-14. Giants quarterback Daniel Jones.
They're a good defense. I think, you know, we just didn't execute our stuff and couldn't really find a rhythm, you know, on offense. So got to do better with that.
The G-Men now 2-9. The Seahawks beat the Eagles 17-9 in Philadelphia. Carson Wentz turned the ball over 4 times, said that's not good enough.
And every time we got something going, we turned it over. You know, and that's, you know, a handful of those were on me, you know, and it starts with me. I got to protect the football, and you can't win many games with 5 turnovers.
Philadelphia falls to 5-6. On the ice, Sabres cruise by the Panthers 5-2. NBA Nets beat the Knicks 103-101. For Family Life, I'm Sonny Delfiette.
Thank you, Sonny. Still to come on this Monday edition of the Noon Report. High winds on the menu this Thanksgiving. The head of the Navy out of a job and the Rochester grandmother who beat up a would-be robber. You're not going to believe this one.
A few recent stories are making me wonder if there's a limit to what some courts and even some academics can stomach. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. This is Breakpoint. Nothing describes the social pressure to conform better than Hans Christian Andersen's parable, The Emperor's New Clothes. Do you remember it? An emperor hires 2 weavers who claim that they can make a garment so fine it's only visible to the very wise. Of course, they end up not making any clothes at all. They pocket the emperor's money and send him on a procession throughout the city naked. No one, not even the emperor himself, is willing to say anything. They think that if they do, it means they're fools. So only a child is willing to shout out, "The emperor is naked." Look, each week I come across a headline that makes me think, finally, this has got to be our naked emperor moment. Somebody's got to call this out. Last week, for instance, the spokeswoman for a British doula association was forced to resign after reminding her social media followers that people who have wombs are women. Commenting on a health awareness campaign that encouraged everyone aged 25 to 64 with a cervix to get screened for cancer, the longtime birth coach wrote, "I'm not a cervix owner, I'm a woman, an adult human female." Well, in response, angry transgender activist barraged Doula UK with complaints, ultimately driving someone willing to say the obvious out of her job. Honestly, I just cannot imagine that the majority of people really want to live in a world where birth coaches aren't allowed to call women women. In fact, it may be that we're ready to put at least some limits on the men who demand all the rights and privileges of women. For example, a biological man who filed complaints against Vancouver beauty salons because they wouldn't wax his private area was just told by a Canadian court he doesn't have a right to force female beauticians to touch him. And then there's an ongoing custody battle over a 7-year-old Texas boy whose mother is convinced he's really a she and therefore should dress, live, and medically transition into girlhood. And resistance is also growing in the academy. A recent essay at The American Mind describes how a growing group of radical feminists are bravely taking on the demands of transgender activists. Apparently, they've realized that their very existence as women is threatened by increasingly unrealistic demands. Camille Paglia, hard-left feminist lesbian professor, has been mercilessly attacked for refusing to accept the claim that men who feel like women really are women. Paglia and other gender-critical feminists think there's something essential to biological womanhood that no man could ever appropriate, claim, or understand, no matter how much makeup, hormone therapy, or surgery he endures. As she told the Weekly Standard in 2017, the cold biological truth is sex changes are impossible. Every single cell of the human body remains coded with one's birth gender for life. That sounds an awful lot like something a conservative Christian would say. Look, the very fact that we now find ourselves as Christians lining up with radical feminists makes me wonder if we are, in fact, approaching a turning point. After all, the state are only getting higher. Sports championships that belong to women are already being given to men. Will scholarships designated for women be taken by men? And what will happen when a federal small business grant program for women entrepreneurs is claimed by a man? Or when women no longer are able to represent their country in the Olympics because men have claimed all of the spots on their team? Look, we'll see whether there's a limit to what people will sit back and take. I suspect that there is. After all, the emperor just can't walk around naked forever. And on another note, we're nearing the end of the year. If you value the daily dose of sanity that you get every single day from Breakpoint, would you please make a year-end gift at breakpoint.org/radio. That's breakpoint.org/radio. For Breakpoint, I'm John Stone Street.
Coming up on 20 minutes past the hour, a Monday afternoon. Let's head outside. A lot to take in this week travel-wise. Kevin Williams, you're up.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. Pre-Thanksgiving Day travelers will find the weather conditions relatively quiet over the next 36 hours, but a storm system moving into the Great Lakes will deliver wind and rain on Wednesday, and for some snow or flurries Wednesday night into Thanksgiving morning. Our forecast for this afternoon, calling for more cloud cover from the morning hours, gradually breaking up during the afternoon, with a leftover shower in some areas near Lake Ontario. High temps, 40s and low 50s. Tonight, some clouds, some starlight, low temps, 30s and low 40s. Sun and clouds tomorrow, the high in the 50s. Cloudy and turning quite breezy Wednesday with showers and high temperatures in the 50s, but then very windy and sharply colder late Wednesday night with some rain changing to snow northwest Pennsylvania and western New York.
Okay, Kevin Williams, a lot to consider there. Thank you so much. If you're just joining us, folks, here are some of the stories we're following for you today, Monday, November 25th. High winds on the menu this Thanksgiving week. Wednesday could be a tricky one out on the roads. You'll want to make sure you got both hands on the steering wheel at all times. Officials at New York City, meantime, say those winds could force them to ground the iconic balloons during Thursday's Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade.
Right now, it's looking iffy for the balloons.
That's meteorologist Bill Kerins. Officials will make the call on the balloons Thursday morning if they do not fly. It will be the first time since 1971 that's happened. New York Senator Chuck Schumer taking aim at the airline industry ahead of the busy holiday travel season. The Senate Minority Leader sent a letter to the Transportation Secretary calling for a new federal rule to keep families seated together during flights.
We are urging the FAA and the Department of Transportation to quickly put out regulations and make sure the friendly skies are family friendly as well.
Schumer says some families are still being forced to pay extra fees to sit together, and in some cases, children as young as one have been separated from their families during a flight. The U.S. Navy will be getting a new secretary after Defense Secretary Mark Esper fired Richard Spencer over his refusal to obey his order in connection to a SEAL involved in a scandal in Iraq. Correspondent Cammie McCormick at the Pentagon.
Defense Secretary Mark Esper said Navy Secretary Richard Spencer had proposed a deal with the White House behind his back. This case has divided the military and raised questions about military justice and the commander-in-chief's role in those matters. Edward Gallagher was acquitted of the most serious charges, but found guilty of posing with the corpse of an Islamic State fighter. President Trump restored his rank, but Navy leaders were looking at removing Gallagher from the SEALs, something President Trump said he would not allow.
That's Cammie McCormick at the Pentagon this afternoon. Holiday spending this year will align with last year's numbers. That according to a new survey today from Bankrate.com, 74% of U.S. adults won't be spending more this year than what they did last year. This includes 22% who say they'll be spending less than what they did in 2018. We are coming up on 23 minutes past the hour, a Monday afternoon. You're plugged into the Noon Report on Family Life. And welcome back to another edition of Issues in Education. Mondays during the Noon Report, we spotlight the important issues that impact our public schooling families with the good Dr. Ralph Kerr at the Teaching and Learning Institute. Ralph, welcome back to the program, sir. Great to have you with us today.
Thank you, Bob. Great to be with you and your listeners as well.
Well, let's talk about an important issue that affects all of our students and families, and that's this question. We're going to hone in
on one question. You know, most of these features, we'll talk about three or four different things, but this is such an important topic, Ralph, that we're going to spend the entire time this week discussing this very question. Should all high schoolers be prepared to attend college? Big question mark there. My guess, your answer to that might be, well, I'm not going to put words in your mouth. What do you say to that, Ralph?
Absolutely not. It's an interesting question because I was thinking been thinking a lot about it over the last two or three weeks, and I think it really has become kind of a generational thing. I'm an old geezer compared to you, to use your language, but when I was growing up in my father's generation, going to college was really very unique experience. Most people, I would guess probably 90% of people that were in high school never gave a thought to going to college because they were going out to work. That's what was required, yeah. You know, get out in the workplace and earn a living. And then when it got to my generation, those expectations, for whatever reason, really changed. And it was really, you really ought to consider going to college, at least, because there's lots of possibilities as a result of that. Mm-hmm. And now in the generation that we're in, we've come full circle to the expectation is you need to be prepared to go to college.
Yeah, and that's the message that was drilled into me. And I can say, you know, a lot of credit to my mom and dad who, you know, grew up on a farm with 13 kids. Every one of my siblings went to college because that was the message that was instilled in us, is that you needed a college degree to make it in this world. But I was blown away, Ralph, by this stat. 1 in 5 college freshmen won't make it to their sophomore year. What are some of the reasons for that?
Well, you know, I was blown away by that also, Bob, and I had not even thought about it until I attended the New York State School Board's conference a few weeks ago, and I was talking to some people in the guidance counselor's exhibit about that, and they happened to mention that stat, and when I got home, I checked it out, and it is the fact. I mean, nationwide, the number is 28% of the students who start college drop out either during or after their freshman year. Some of the reasons are that, you know, it costs a lot of money to go to college today, and even with the aid that's available, parents and the students themselves have to think about that cost. So finances is certainly an issue. Some people go to college, they've not declared a major, they really haven't developed their thoughts about the future to the point where they have even thought about what a major might be.
Yeah.
Then we get into, you know, they can be maybe the first time that the students are away from home, and so there's dealing with that issue and a feeling of being overwhelmed, which can lead to, you know, failing the courses. And then in some cases, just the simply lack of motivation, which is also a factor in high school today as well.
Yeah. What can guidance counselors, because I think guidance counselors are so crucial in this whole process, and what can they do better when advising juniors and seniors about the future after high school?
Well, it's going to take a major mindset change for guidance counselors. I think what they need to do is begin to get out of the mindset, and probably their age would be a factor in this, that when they were growing up, everybody was advised to go to college. And so that's kind of the background that they're coming from. But I think they need to be aware of the fact that maybe in the past, encouraging, you know, all the students to prepare for college and then go to college may have resulted in a lot of wasted money. So
yeah,
they need to be thinking about that. And also they need to be aware of what the other career possibilities are. And I looked up even some of the kind of wages that plumbers and mechanics and chefs can make. And it's pretty astonishing when you look at it. But even more basic, I want to just close with this, that what employers are really looking for are people that will show up for work, that they will look good when they get there, that they have a positive attitude, that they have some ambition, that they are willing to accept others, and that they'll be accountable for their actions. Now, those are really basic skills.
Yeah.
But you know what? Employers today are saying, unfortunately, many of the even college students that they're getting don't have those basic skills.
Well, that will have to be the last word. Like I tell my kids all the time, all the smarts in the world mean nothing if you don't have a good work ethic. So, kids listening today, take that to heart. Ralph, you have
you
a wonderful website where folks can learn more about this topic. What is that, sir?
Thank you very much, Bob. Again, it's just simply whyrun.org, whyrun.org.
All right. Thank you, guys. Issues in Education comes your way Mondays during the noon report. You can also find it online anytime, fln.org/podcast.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. Pre-Thanksgiving Day travelers will find the weather conditions relatively quiet over the next 36 hours, but a storm system moving into the Great Lakes will deliver wind and rain on Wednesday, and for some snow or flurries Wednesday night into Thanksgiving morning. Our forecast for this afternoon, calling for more cloud cover from the morning hours, gradually breaking up during the afternoon, with a leftover shower in some areas near Lake Ontario, high temps, 40s and low 50s. Tonight, some clouds, some starlight, low temps, 30s and low 40s. Sun and clouds tomorrow, the high in the 50s. Cloudy and turning quite breezy Wednesday with showers and high temperatures in the 50s, but then very windy and sharply colder late Wednesday night with some rain changing to snow northwest Pennsylvania and western New York.
Okie dokie, Kevin Williams. Finally at noon, an intruder picked the wrong house to rob in Rochester, New York. That's because the bandit broke into the house of 82-year-old Willie Murphy, an award-winning weightlifter.
She is the wrong person to mess with.
I probably weigh close to twice as much as her. I wouldn't want to tango with her. Don't mess with Willie.
Some of Willie's workout buddies there reacting to the news of a home invasion gone terribly wrong for the would-be burglar. Last Thursday night, the man tried to break into Willie's home, but she turned the tables on him, literally.
I'm alone, and I'm old. But guess what? I'm tough.
Yeah, she is, Murphy, able to subdue the burglar with a piece of furniture from her house.
I took that table, and I went to working on him, and guess what? The table broke. When he's down, I'm jumping on him.
Yeah, he's down. When the cops arrived, it wasn't Murphy who needed medical attention.
He's laying down already. Because I had really did a number on that man.
Well, Murphy says she won't press charges against the man, who is expected to make a full recovery. Lesson learned. Don't mess with Rochester, New York's Willie Murphy. That is the world we live in this Monday. As always, thanks for coming along. I'm Bill Price, Family Life News.
You've been listening to The Noon Report, heard weekdays on Family Life. Thank you for listening.